Hey, Slay. Hey, everyone. It's me, Jay, and I'm with my girl, Nina. And welcome back to the No Stylist Left Behind podcast. Thank you, Oligo Professional, for being our sponsors. We love you so much. Oh, let me just tell everyone right now how obsessed I am with Nina Tullio. I love that I get to be doing this with you. It's been over 2 years and creating magic with you, Nina Tullio Ladner. Odom is so amazing.
Listen, I love you so much. I have quite a few last names. My Tullio, obviously my name is Tullio. My husband's name is Odom. And Odom. Then you add Ladner to Ladner. It, forget it. I have a bunch of last names.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. I never changed my name. And I think that, you know, it was for business, obviously for business purposes when I had my salon. But guess what? Mr. Justin asked me yesterday if I would change my name.
Stop.
And I was like, no. I love you, but I'm not. I am a Tullio through and through.
I am Tullio, baby. And that's how everyone knows me up in the gigs. We can't be doing a press release now like Kim K. You know what I mean? Kim Kardashian. Well, what?
Honey. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm super excited to always just show just this every single week that we get to do together. And it's been over 2 years. We have well over 100 episodes. And thank you so much to our incredible guest speakers who show up with us. We have an incredible guest today. And also our audience that really supports us every single Friday. We just love you so much. So thank you. And I know, Jay, that you have some good shit going on. So why don't you share it?
Listen to all the Lindas out there. I love you so much. But yes, so I wanted to celebrate at jayledner.com all of my education that is available online. My tour is at the end, probably when this is releasing. So my tour for 2021 has been completed. Mm-hmm. We are all the way wrapped up, packaged up, and feeling great. But I just want to let everyone know that there might be a little pause in my tour. So make sure to go over to jayledner.com and check out my 5-week balayage course and my 4-week placement patterns and potions course, all about efficiency, right? Innovation that sparks efficiency. So head over there. If you want to see me in your town, you're just going to have to pause. I'm taking a little break like Lady Gaga.
I live for it.
Yes. So
I have to introduce our person.
Baby, and I'm ready.
Listen, hold on. Let me pull up my deck here, my sheet, because it's a long list, because we really have a special guest today, and we're going to be diving into the 4 areas and categories that promote success as a commission salon owner, but these will apply to our independents that are listening as well. And our guest is a lifetime hairdresser. He is a former salon owner. He is the salon leader and co-founder at 124 Go and the co-host of Shop Talk, the 124 Go podcast. We'll make sure that we hook you guys up later so you can go find him and connect with him. But we're so honored and really excited to have John Palmieri joining us today. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you, guys. I'm wicked excited to hang out with you. This is going to be fun.
I love it.
John, you just give me life. I cannot wait to dive deep today with
Listen,
you.
Don't be talking like that in front of Nina. She's going to get jealous.
It's okay.
Stop. We'll talk later. Yeah.
Listen, do it in front of me, okay? You don't have to do it behind my back.
Okay, let's do it right in front of her. Thank
All right,
you.
You got it.
So listen, I think there's going to be so much that we're going to learn from you today. You've been in the business for a while. We're going to get into your story in a little bit. And you also share a different perspective on leadership, on salon ownership. And because you've been in the business for how long?
30 years now.
30 years. Wow. So I'm 5 years behind you. So we have seen a lot of shit and a lot of things that have shifted and changed over time. So before we dive into our 4 categories, we're going to walk everybody through them. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just give us some, you know, information? Tell us how you got started in the business, why you chose this industry, and how it led you to where you are now.
I'll make this as short as I can, but I'm going to talk fast. I never wanted to be a hairdresser. Never crossed my mind. It was just not on, wasn't on in the cards. Just never wanted to be a hairdresser. I'd gone to college once, gone to college twice, went to college three times because that's what you're supposed to do. Got a girlfriend. Girlfriend was a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. She had really expensive shoes. She had a really expensive car. She had really cool friends. She had a life that I looked at and said, dang, that looks like fun. I want to do that. And then the clincher was that the guy that owned the salon, his name was Peter. Peter had a plane. He had a nice wife. He had his beautiful deck house. And I was like, well, if Peter can have this life and the girlfriend I had at the time, if Lisa can have this life, heck, hairdressing's for me. So that was what happened. I went to hairdressing school. The thought being that, well, I'll go to hairdressing school. My girlfriend at the time, her name was Lisa, will open a salon and we'll live happily ever after. Well, two out of three happened. I went to hairdressing school, became a hairdresser, and we opened the salon. The relationship ended, but the career stayed with me and the love for hairdressing continued. It's an amazing career. It's an amazing industry, and I'm so glad to be part of it.
Wow. So yeah. Where were you a salon owner then? And then how long were you an owner?
I was in Worcester, Massachusetts, which is where I'm from. For those of you who aren't familiar, it's the center of the universe. Yes. So that's where I'm from. You know, I was a salon owner for about 25 years. I want to fast forward a little bit. About 9 years into my career as a salon owner, I realized that we weren't growing the way I wanted to. Because, of course, remember, Peter had the great house and the plane and the whole thing. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have a house and the plane and the whole thing. And I didn't. And I was like, what am I not doing here? Where have I gone off the rails? And what I learned was, what became obvious to me, is I didn't have the business education that I needed, right? Wow. And so I ended up hiring a consulting company that specialized in the beauty business. And I learned what I needed to learn from that consulting company. They helped my company grow. I think the very first year we worked with the consulting company, we grew like 30%. It was insane. Mm. And then I found my second love, which is, it was one thing to be part of the beauty industry, which I adore. The second thing is I wanted to help other salon owners like me who got stuck, couldn't find a way to move forward, and realized, you know what, we're really smart people. We just don't have all the skills we need. And business skills are part of that plan. So I've been a coach and consultant ever since.
Ooh, wow. Very cool. Listen, and you know what? I relate to that because I did have mentors. My mentors, though, it was a little bit different because we were operating a walk-in salon. So I did have to learn a lot of things the hard way. And I started my consulting business too to help the commission salon owner because it is hard. And when you feel like you're alone and you have no one who understands, it makes it even harder. So I can't wait to dive into this. So our topic today and our categories are, right, and we talked about what the four areas that I feel anyway, there could be many more, that create success in your salon business. We're going to dive into each of them, starting with, so we have leadership, we have salon brand and salon culture, we have the financial aspect, and then we have systems and processes. Mm-hmm. So Jay's going to take it away and handle the first two, and we're going to talk about the challenges in each area and how we can overcome them.
Sure.
Yes, and I'm so excited that we have you leading us through this podcast because there wouldn't be anyone greater to do it. This first one that I want to talk about is leadership. And through our experience, we all were salon owners at one time, and everyone out there, if you're a leader, if you're a salon owner, even leading a small team or a big team, it starts at the top. And, you know, we talk a lot about leadership and diving deep into that and what takes a phenomenal leader. But my question to you is, like, when it comes to leadership, what is the main area of challenge and how do you overcome it? So if someone's having a challenge in leadership, one of the biggest reasons, what is that? And how can our listeners overcome that moving forward in their journey?
You know, I don't want to overstate this, but I think it's the truth. I think the biggest challenge all salon owners have is leadership in general. That's probably the biggest nut that most people have to crack, right? And for leadership, for many people, we don't really know what that is. Does that mean telling people what to do? Does that mean telling people how to do it? Does that mean yelling at people when they're late, telling them that their haircut sucks? You know, that's not leadership, right? You know, I had gone through some John Maxwell training, and I love one of the quotes he has. And the quote he has is, leadership is influence, right? Mm. How we influence people is leadership.
Wow.
And the second thing he teaches, and I've grasped onto this as well, your job as a leader is not to boss people around. Your job as a leader is to create more leaders, right? And I think as any salon, any business, not just salons, tries to grow, there are two things we really struggle with. How do we influence our team? Because I can micromanage the daylights out of you. Trust me, we're all really good at that, right?
Yes.
We can micro. I mean, I tell my wife how to put dishes in the dishwasher, okay? Because she puts them in wrong, okay? we can micromanage the daylights out of each other, but that's not influence, right? Mm. Influence is you want people to want to follow you, right? You want to be an influence in people's lives that say, I don't know what that is, but I want to be a part of that. And, you know, secondly, you can do this forever and bang your head against the wall for as long as you want, or you can bring up other people, teach them the skills that you have, influence them in a manner that they want to take charge, that they want to do something, you know, and all that leads to this, the last part of leadership that I want to touch on, which is as leaders, the reason that creating other leaders is important is because as our businesses grow, we wear a lot of hats. You have the accountant hat, you have the trainer hat, you got the marketing hat, you got the, you know, training the front desk hat, you got all these hats. That's fine when it's two of you, maybe three of you, maybe even four of you. But sooner or later, those hats, you can't wear them all. You can't. And you got to start shedding them, right? Who am I going to give the finance hat to? Who am I going to give the marketing hat to? Who am I going to give the front desk trainer hat to? And if you haven't trained up, if you haven't influenced people that want to take on that roles, you're going to continue to spin your wheels, bang your head against the wall. And, you know, of course, we don't make the progress we want to make. So leadership is a big deal. I think that holds most people back from growing their companies and being the success they want to be.
Wow. I love that you talked about, you know, training your people up. And I feel like I lived in this space. So I know someone listening right now can relate to that is we have so much possession within our business.
Right.
And the number one thing I think that held me back for a while when I was a young owner was I didn't delegate. I wasn't leading with influence. I was just, you know, barking out orders and saying this was what it was and not asking for support and help. And I feel like as you move along, getting guidance from someone else's point of view was absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And the awareness is what's going to move you forward in your career.
Yeah, I think one of the things we have to acknowledge as leaders is when you're bringing somebody up, they're not going to get it 100% the way you want it. It just isn't going to happen. Right. Like I said, my wife still doesn't stack the dishes right in the dishwasher. I've been influencing her for years now. It still ain't working. But the point is they can get it 70% there. That's a good, because if you can get it 70% of the way, we can work on the other 30. Right. Yes. If you're trying to get somebody to 100% to do it just the way you did, they're going to be frustrated. You're going to be frustrated. And all you're going to be left with is people who think that you're a pain in the butt, not somebody who you're trying to rise up, somebody that you're trying to influence, somebody to take one of those hats off for you.
Wow. Right? So true. So if we have owners that are listening and they're like, where do I start? Like maybe they reassessed already and they're like, you know, this is, I know I need to really take in my skills a little bit or tighten my skills when it comes to leadership. Where do they start? What can they do to kind of get this ball rolling a little bit and feel a little bit more confident in the way that they're leading their team?
I think one of the first things I like to do is like to write down all my hats. You know, I got a finance hat, I got a training hat, I got a front desk hat, I got, you know, my marketing hat. And then just start talking to your people. You know, if you're out and you're having dinner with Jay, you know, what's going on? You've been with the company a couple of years now. What are your goals for the next 3 to 5 years? And Jay's like, you know, I really like this Instagram thing and it's fun for me. And I was like, have you ever thought about maybe doing some marketing? I can do that. Sure. Let's talk about what that looks like, right? There might not be any money in it right now, but if you can help me grow this a little bit, you know, some of that additional income that will come from this, you know, we'll set that aside for a little bit of a salary for you or an opportunity to grow. You know, knowing your people is really important. You know, we think that, well, I want to get rid of this, I want to get rid of that, I don't want to do this anymore. Fine. But don't put something on somebody that they just have no interest in. You know, Jay, you know, you look good. I'm going to make you in charge of marketing. I hate marketing. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it because you asked me to. And then we both get frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, find out what people are interested in. Find out what their goals are. Find out what their 1 to 3 year plan is. And then you help them with that. And hopefully you have enough people internally to do that. If not, yeah, you start farming stuff out. Right. Find somebody else to do it.
You better show up today. I'm hanging on every word you're saying.
Well, thanks.
Every word. And I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on, leadership. Mm. Buckle up. Let's go. Wake up. Let's do it. So I do want to ask, you know, and pivot a little bit. And I want to ask you about brand and culture. Yeah. And we're going to stay with the same question. So when it comes to someone's salon brand and their salon culture, what would be the main area of challenge and how do they overcome it?
You know, I think there's two parts that I'm going to answer that question partly with a story, if that's okay.
Sure. Yes.
When I first had my salon and I had my partner, we were a day spa. We were a day spa because that was the thing to do, right? So we had a couple of massage therapy rooms, a skincare room. We had the hair and we had the Aveda product line, which is a great product line. And it smelled like Aveda when you walked in the door and all of that, right? And we had the spa music on and blah, 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 blah. I hated it. I just hated it, right? That if I hear Natalie Imbruglia one more time, I'm going to throw up, okay? I'm just done. Okay. And I don't want to hear the waves crashing on the rocks. I'm done. Yeah. It's over. Right. I'm a hairdresser. Hairdressers are loud. We're fun. I want to hear AC/DC. Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be serving tea. Okay. It's just no. Blah. That green stuff swirling around the cup. It gets stuck in your teeth. Stop. So one day we said, I went to a class at Bumble and Bumble in New York because Worcester's not that far. And here are a bunch of people that loved hairdressing. They were in it knee deep and they swam in it and they loved it. And I went back home and I said, screw it, you know, close the spa. Sorry, people, you're going to have to find other jobs. Love you all to death, but this is not a spa anymore. We ripped everything out. We changed the colors. We changed the music. And we departmentalized. So half of my staff became cutters. Half of my staff became colorists. There was a little bit of, you know, adjustment there, but everybody stayed. Nobody left except for the spa people, right? And I knew we had crossed a bridge one day when a client came in and they were at the sink. And one of my staff members came over and said, you know, Mrs. So-and-so thinks the music's too loud. Can we turn it down? And I said, no, because that's not who we are. I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to be cutthroat about it, but I think what's really important is you've got to discover who you are, right? Because that's your brand.
Wow, yeah.
And if you can't live it, people know when you're full of crap. Mm-hmm. They knew we weren't deep down in our soul, a spa salon. We just weren't. We did it because that was the trend, because I don't know why we did it. We just did it because it was the trend. But when we became our authentic selves, our business blew up again, right? Because people wanted that experience. People wanted departmentalization. They wanted experts in hair design, you know, and that changed our trajectory. Getting back to the culture piece and the brand, by defining our culture, we created a brand, right? By defining our culture, you came to us because our tagline at the time was, we know hair. That's it. You want hair, we're the place. You want an eyebrow wax, this ain't it. You want a pedicure, this ain't it. If you want the best highlights, the best hair color, the best haircut you can possibly get, and the experience that went with it. The music was what it was. We served wine. We served beer. You know, that culture became our brand. Our brand became our culture. They were intertwined. We attracted people because they wanted to be part of that, right? People said, I don't know what this salon is, but it's really cool. My mom goes there. My niece goes there. My sister-in-law goes there. My brother's girlfriend goes there. And they all say it's cool. I'm going there, right?
I am resonating with you so well because I had owned my salon in Ohio. And when I first opened, it was like 6 weeks after living there, I opened my doors. And everyone was like, where did Jay Wadner come from? Yeah. What? Like, even all my friends in the industry were like, you're insane. But I was like, no, I understand the marketing piece. We got this. So a year later, I opened up a salon and spa. And I went through the same thing because everyone in that area was a salon slash spa. So I felt like I had to live in that area. And it actually was a very bad decision on my part because I'm a hairdresser. And sometimes you have to understand and remember why you're opening those doors and the energy and the culture that resides within the building. And I love that you brought that up because the moment we snatched away the pedicure chairs and we took away the spa, we really blew up. Right? Because we were living our truth and we were doing what we were good at. And that was being hairdressers. Right.
You know, and I want to make this really clear. I've met a lot of people doing consulting that do both so well. They blow it up. They kill it. It just wasn't me.
Same.
You know, it just wasn't me. If it's you, kill it. Go out there, knock the walls down, you know, be the force in your community. But it wasn't us. We were faking it and it was obvious, right?
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
It really is true. I just want to add to the piece that just the opening line that you said, you have to know who you are. I mean, really, it's these three things that I think is important to focus on. Whether you're a stylist behind the chair or you're a commission owner, you have to know who you are first. Right. You have to know who you serve. Yeah. And know how you're going to serve them differently than everyone else.
Go ahead. And
that's kind of, you know, when you think about brand and culture, they do go hand in hand. But if you have an owner, if you're an owner, or even if you're an independent and you are still a little bit conflicted on who you are, you're going to have a hard time attracting stylists and you're going to have a hard time attracting clients that you actually want to serve. So it's taking a step back and saying, who the hell am I? What am I doing? What makes me feel good? Right. And how am I going to turn that into a culture that people actually want to work in? And, you know, it's the same way when you're serving your stylist, because I believe truly in servant leadership. And John, I believe we touched on this in the podcast that when you had me on.
Yeah. But, when you guys are on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true that it is not only serving guests, it's also serving your team. So very, I love what you're saying. So as we kind of dive into the next area and category, which is systems and processes, because this listen, this one we could probably talk about for hours, but systems and processes, and I just go through the whole list of things that I see on Instagram every day, whether it be pricing, cancellation, policies, hiring, you know, there's a lot of systems and things. We could do client systems, we could do stylist systems, but again, what is the biggest challenge that you see in terms of systems and processes in salons right now, and how do we overcome it?
Well, I think there's two parts I want to touch base on. One is, I think sometimes people use systems, and I'm going to say this politely, as a weapon, right? It's a policy. You know, that's our system. That's the way we do things. And what I want to say is there is no perfect punishment, for lack of a better way to put them, right? There just isn't. You know, if I just do this, if I write it down, if I make it this policy, they're going to have to do this. And no, they don't. And you can spend a lot of time pushing back against people who aren't following your policies and procedures. So I like to put those aside for a second. When I think of systems, I like to think of standards, right? And I think that that change of vocabulary is important. Right. And when I say a standard, what I'm saying is, I'm not telling you I want you to do it this way. What I'm saying is, it's got to be at least this good.
Oh,
and those are two different things. Right. When I tell you this is our policy, this is our procedure, I'm saying you've got to do it like this. I'm saying you've got to be a clone. I'm saying you've got to be a robot. I'm not interested in clones and robots, right? What I am interested in is what we call it a minimum level of expectation. It's got to be at least this good. That's our standard. Now, if you want to go beyond that, have at it, right? Make it yours, make it original, put your own special tweak on it. Just know it's got to be at least this good. This is our standard. It's got to meet the standard. Whether you call that best practices, whether you, or whatever you want to call it, minimum level of expectation. This is our standard. My conversation now is different with you. My conversation is, Jay, you didn't do it the way I told you. right?
Yeah.
It's, Jay, our standard is this. You're a little shy. What can we do? What do we need to have happen to get you up to standard? And maybe even excel, right?
Yes. Those
are, that's a different conversation with somebody, right? And I think when you have a conversation like that, people are more receptive. People are more open to your feedback. You know, and let's get back to the leadership part.
Yep.
That's influence.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
for sure. And, yeah, and leading by example.
Sure.
You know, you have to be the standard of your business. It
right.
starts with you. It ends with you. And so that's very powerful because mm-hmm. it's so, and listen, the standard, there's a standard for your clients and there's a right. standard for the team.
Yep.
And I shared this on Instagram a few weeks ago, or maybe a month ago. You create the standard in your business as a hairstylist.
Right.
The clients rise to it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't allow the client to create the standard and you go down to their level. That's not how it works.
No.
And so when we're thinking about the standard, absolutely 1000%. Mm-hmm. Is there though, however, because if we talk, we do have to implement some sort of systems and processes in the business so we don't have like a total shit show.
Right.
Whether, let's maybe talk about things with clients. Like if, mm-hmm. if stylists are struggling, listen, here's the big one right now that I see. And yeah. I think about this often too, because it is, we do have to have some sort of cancellation system in place.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is a big one because of COVID. And I just read in a thread this morning on Facebook where stylists once again are getting very frustrated because their clients are canceling right in a couple hours, and they know that it has to do, they have a cancellation policy, they check it off, they sign off on it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they say, well, I'm feeling ill.
Yeah.
You know, the clients are saying, I'm feeling ill. And how do you, because I'm sure you've been posed with this question
in
conversation. How do we overcome that? Because what are you going to say? Oh, you're not sick, you
right.
know, but it's really causing a problem and stylists are losing a lot of money, but then they yeah. want to be sympathetic to the fact that, well, if they're sick, we want them to be well, and we don't want them to come in the salon. So what,
right.
just a system just to kind of throw off the
Well, head. You know, when we think of systems again, I always, and I hear what you're saying, Nina, mm-hmm. Again, though, I always fall back to a standard and, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go off on a little bit of a sidetrack, but we're going to sure. circle back. Right. So part of our standards is we have our core values, mm-hmm. right? Family, artistry, fulfillment, integrity, artistry, excellence, right? So, you know, these are our core values. And the reason the core values, you know, if we talk about, you know, why we do what we do, right? Jay has the reasons why he does it. Nina, you have the reasons why you do it. I have the reasons why I do it. And all our, the reasons for what we do are different. And I think that as leaders, we need to know that about our team. Nina, why is this important to you? Jay, what is this about hairdressing? What is it? Why education? Well, you know, what's in this for you? We need to know people's why. But next, in the unifying piece of any team is core values. And the reason core values are so important is we each have distinctive whys, but the what has to be the same. Mm. The what is we do this with integrity. The what we do is we do it with teamwork. The what we do is we do this with a sense of artistry. So if my standard is respect is one of our core values, then I'm going to treat that client with respect, right? So when Absolutely. I create a standard or a system, how do we do this in a respectful manner? Mm-hmm. How do we do this with a sense of teamwork? How do we do this with a sense of integrity? Because if any of your systems or standards or policies or procedures work against your core values, here's what I would say. We have six core values. If it was up to me, our employee manual would have six words on it. It would have each of those six core values. And at the bottom, it would say, if anything you do does not support these six core values, don't do it. If anything you do supports these six core values, go ahead. You don't need my permission. And that would be the employee manual. Now, the problem is we have HR rules and regulations,
yes.
right? So there's another 102 pages,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But
yes.
page one, that would be the only page. So to get back to your point, if I'm going to have a policy that tells a client that, look, if you cancel at the last minute, you know, where's the integrity in the system? The integrity comes from not dropping it on them the first time. Oh, Nina, it's your third appointment you missed. I'm going to charge you $50. When did that happen? When was that a policy? Nobody told me anything.
Right.
You know, integrity out the window, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it in a manner that, you know, well, the salon gets the whole $50, the stylist gets nothing. Where's your integrity there? Out the window, right? Yeah. So to your point, if I'm going to build a policy and procedure that impacts the client, our external client, it also needs to support our stylist, our internal client. There's two clients here, and both have to come out with a win. The internal client needs a win. The external client needs to be needs a win. It needs to be done in a manner that fulfills our what, our core values, which for us is integrity, is one of those. Communication. Let's go back to the leadership part in the very beginning. One of the huge parts about leadership that we're not really good at is communicating. We think because we told somebody something or we posted on Facebook that we're done. No, you're not. Until you have said it so many times that you're sick of hearing it yourself, you haven't said it enough, right? We rely too much on the non-confrontational method of communicating, which is, it's on our website. Didn't you read it? No, nobody reads the policies procedure page on your website. Nobody.
No.
Well, it was on the voicemail. Nobody listens to the whole voicemail. They just said, oh, is it Salon 124? Oh, I have an appointment next week. Click, they hung up. They don't listen. They don't read the fine print on the bottom of your email. They don't. I don't. What we listen to is people. People listen to people. People interact with people. And if you can't have a conversation with Nina that says, Nina, I love you to death. You know, you missed a couple appointments. Here's what I want you to know. It is our policy that if you give us less than 24-hour notice, we do have to charge you for the appointment because, you know what? Somebody else could have taken that time, and it's money out of my pocketbook, meaning, you know, I got kids to feed. Sure. And it's like, John, I get it. I understand. I'm sorry. No problem. You know what? Let's call it a clean slate. Let's start over. Now you know our policy, right?
Wow.
It's and
communication is so key. Yes.
And here's the thing is, why are we so, we're not afraid. I'm going to get silly here. We're not afraid to talk about the guy or gal we met the night before and got naked with and we never met them before. We'll tell that story all day long.
All day. Right? All day.
But we won't talk to the client about, hey, can, you know what? Can you not blow me off? You know, can we talk about making an appointment and what that looks like? Why is that conversation so hard? The other one is like, we'll tell 20 complete strangers, right?
Yeah, wow. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I do want to add that when I was an owner and still now when I mentor, I always reminded my team and the people I mentor that it's not your guest's job to run your business and to fill them in like you in. It's your job to make sure that they never forget and being clear, just like Brené Brown, be clear, be kind, right? Yep. Lead with love and light and have a conversation. And if someone is doing that for the first time, why? I understand right now we're living in a world where it's very tense, but we are servants. Like we have those guests coming in are choosing you.
Yeah.
They choose you. And if they're not a serial offender, like we need to be more compassionate and understanding. And I feel like it's just easy for us to sit in the space of ego and just kind of like pop off. Trust me, I still deal with it. You know what I mean? Right. We all do. So it's just a reminding the reason of why and what we're going to do about it. Just like you were talking about, and just leading with a lot more compassion and having the conversations, mastering it, mastering the uncomfortable conversation.
And that's going to take practice, right? Yeah. You're not going to get it right the first time. You know, I had a staff member, we've got six locations and I kind of revolve around all six locations. And one of the locations, one of the women I was working with, like, John, I got this client. She's always coming in drunk. You know, what am I going to do? And I was like, well, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't want to do her hair anymore. She comes in drunk. You know, there's a pizza place next door. They serve beer. She goes and gets like this cooler that's, you know, 80 ounces. And she sits there and just pounds down a beer while she's getting her hair done. And then, of course, she's driving home. She's afraid she's going to get an accident, blah, 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 blah. So what do you want to do? She says, well, I really don't want to do her hair anymore. It's not even the drinking that bothers me. She's mean to me. And it's like, well, you're going to have to tell her. Well, can't you do it? No, I don't know her. I've never met her before in my life, but this is what I will do. I'll be here when you do tell her. I'll give you some scripting that we can practice, but you're going to have to do it. And then when I'll be here, I'll make sure I'm here at 2 o'clock on Thursday and I'll back you up, meaning I'll be in earshot, but I won't be standing next to you. And you're going to need to do this. You know what? She was nervous. The client came in the following Thursday, but you know what? She did it. And she did it with grace and she did it with kindness.
Yes.
And afterwards she was like, you know, thank you. I wouldn't have been able to do that without the support that you give me. Well, guess what? I never have to be there again.
Mm.
Right. Yep. She's got it. And hey, and here's the thing for owners who are afraid, well, they're going to do that to everybody. That was a year ago. She hasn't done it again. Right. People just need to be empowered. They need to know you have their back. Mm-hmm. You can't do it for them.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean you can't be within earshot and let them know you're there to support them when the time comes.
Right? Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, people want to, in terms of stylists and clients, they want to feel safe. They want to feel supported. They want to feel secure.
Yeah.
And as leaders, it's our job to do that in all ways. And I think it's just everything that you're saying is just, it really is so, so true. And I'm hoping that everyone listening today is kind of like, wow, maybe I can start thinking a little bit differently about my business. So thank you so much for sharing that. In terms of the financial aspect,
yeah,
let's dive deep into that. What's the biggest challenge? How do we correct it? Because there are quite a few for sure. What do you see?
The biggest challenge is you need 3 financial documents to run your business. You need a cash flow plan, you need a profit and loss statement, and you need a balance sheet. And real quick, you need a profit and loss statement because you need to know if what you're doing is the right thing. You need a balance sheet because, kind of like a car depreciating over time, you want to make sure your business is appreciating, not depreciating. Mm. Are you growing your business or are you driving it into the ground? And third is cash flow. Think of cash flow as like the gas in the tank of your car. You got to have enough cash to get to wherever you're going, right? You need those 3 things. Here's what I know. You don't know how to read them. You don't know how to read a profit and loss statement. You don't know how to read a cash flow, and you don't know how to read a balance sheet. Here's me being polite but direct. Get over it. Okay. You have got to learn. You don't have to know how to do them. I'm not saying you got to go to accounting school, right? But you got to learn how to read a profit and loss statement. You got to learn how to read a balance sheet. And this part, you're probably going to have some input in. You're going to need to know how to develop a cash flow plan. Here's what I want you to know. All businesses run this way. Not just the beauty industry, all of them. I don't care if you make shoes. I don't care if you own General Motors. I don't care if you own a hot dog cart on the corner. All businesses work this way. And here's the thing. We didn't learn this in hairdressing school. And it's nobody's fault. It's not what they do. They teach you how to cut hair, right? That's why I hired a consulting company, because I didn't know this stuff, right? And they taught me, and thank goodness for that. Learn how to read a profit and loss statement. Learn how to read a balance sheet. Learn how to read how to develop a cash flow plan. Your accountant can do the work, but now when you go in to the accountant's office and they give you that brown envelope, instead of you sitting in on top of the file cabinet in the back room with the 30 others that you'll have there, you'll actually open it and go, oh, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I have a funny story. I have this friend, Dennis, who I went to coaching with. And we became close friends because he was getting coaching the same time I was getting coaching. And his profit and loss statement said it had $60,000 in profit at the bottom. Now, this is a longer story that we don't need to get into, but just because you have profit doesn't mean you have that money in the bank. We'll save that for another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But Dennis was like, well, if I have $60,000 in profit, why don't I have $60,000 in cash? And he felt stupid. And how everybody raised their hand will feel stupid sometimes talking to your accountant, right? Because you don't know what to say or how to say it. So he figured what the accountant was telling him is that his wife had it. No, his wife didn't have it either. But but he gave up because he felt stupid, because he felt dumb, because he didn't know the questions to ask. You got to get over it. You have a business to run for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your people that have decided to follow you, for the sake of your family. You got to learn how to run a business. You got to learn how to read those financial statements. I didn't say do them. You got to know how to read them. And then take that information and put it into action, because you're the leader,
mm-hmm.
right? And leadership means being able to look at your financials, take that information and pivot so your company can continue to grow and prosper.
For sure. And I think too, here's one thing that I want to get very, very clear to and make very clear to everyone that's listening. First of all, you know that you're not alone. If you've listened to myself or Jay, I'm sure, John, that you've shared stories as well. Sure. I made a ton of mistakes in my business and I failed a lot of times. And I just want you to know that you're not alone in feeling that way, but you don't have to stay stuck.
Right.
It's okay to reach out for help, just like you did, John. You reached out for help. And so we kind of have to put our ego aside sometimes and ask for help. And you can do that, whether it's John, whether it's Jay, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else. Find a person that you align with, that you feel that you can connect with, because you don't have to stay stuck.
You don't.
Yeah, for sure. So I think you're awesome. I think everything that you share is just so on point. I love your passion and compassion at the same time.
You.
Your directness, but you do come from
that space.
Is there anything that you want to add before we kind of close out?
I don't think so. Only because you guys have done such a good job in asking these questions. You know, leadership is huge. You know, it's what we need to do as leaders. I mean, that sounds kind of redundant, but we need, if we're going to be leaders, we need to be leaders, you know, and that doesn't mean bossing people around, you know, understanding your brand, understanding your culture. To me, those things go hand in hand. Financials, I get it. It's scary. I know it's scary. But it is something you got to learn. And again, not because you have to do it, but because you can read it. And systems and processes, love those. You know, for me, create standards, create rules of behavior, and then follow through with them. Create, and I want to add this for systems, create systems you need because you have a problem, not because they look good in a book. You know, sometimes we create systems we don't even need. Do you have anybody who doesn't show? No, but we're going to create a no-show policy anyways. Why? Everybody shows up. That's dumb, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're creating a rule for a problem that doesn't exist.
Yes.
Create a policy and a procedure and a standard for an actual challenge. Don't make stuff up just because you're bored.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where can everyone find you? And so, you know, so they can connect with you if they have questions or want to reach out.
Well, you can reach me at John. You can reach me on No Indoor Voice on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Just put in No Indoor Voice, one word, and I will pop up all over the place. So you can reach me on all social media through that. And you can also reach me at J for John. Palmieri, Palmieri, at 124go.com.
Perfect. And the podcast.
And our podcast. Yeah, you have to listen to our podcast. It's almost as good as Jay and Nina's. it's called Shop Talk. There's a couple of different Shop Talk podcasts. There's one for a barbershop. There's one for an auto garage. There's one for a woodworker. So if you put 124go podcast, you're more likely to find it than if you put Shop Talk on. You'll find it if you put Shop Talk, but you'll have to screen through 14 other Shop Talk podcasts.
Cool.
And I do that with my partner, Chris Soulamay, who's just, he's just a great guy.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we just interviewed him and we love him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was so awesome. John, you're amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much,
ma'am,
for sharing your time and your knowledge. Jay, Mr. Jay Ladner, you know, I love you so much. Make sure that you give him a follow on Instagram at It's Mr. Jay Ladner. Give our sponsor at Oligo Pro a little follow on Instagram at Oligo Pro and myself at Nina Tullio. And if you learn anything from listening to us today, please know that it is okay to live in your truth and remember to always live your life out loud. See you next time.